All right, guys, that's on the way. Right now, let's talk to Cody Benjamin. He writes for CBS, does a terrific job, covers the NFL. And Cody, excuse me, one of the things that we've been talking about is some of the guys around the country like yourself who love what we did. I read your stuff. I really enjoy reading you. Tell me why you like what you think about what the Falcons did in this draft.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think, obviously, the Falcons' moves, especially on day one, they don't come without risk. Obviously, when you're giving up such premium draft capital, you know, trading a future first-round pick, I mean, those don't come around very often. You don't. You like to hold tight to those things. But the fact that you're leaving the draft with, you know, two of the top edge rushers from this class, you know, some might say, well, you didn't need to go that far. But, you know, for years, everyone's kind of clamoring for a bona fide, you know, quarterback chaser in Atlanta. And now they might have a few of them and you know, to go with it, Leonard Floyd and free agency. So I think just right away, it's kind of they're doubling down on this clear need that needed to be filled. Now, again, it comes with some long term risk. I mean, but I think that the added bonus of adding two guys, you know, and Jalen Walker and James Pierce is that, you know, a guy like Jalen Walker, there was, you know, a lot of scouts were saying that this is a guy you could play at multiple spots. I mean, off-ball linebacker and then a straight-up edge rusher, whereas James Pierce, you're probably looking more of as just a speed off the edge. I think they'll work well together, so I think immediately Raheem Morris's defense definitely looks more promising.
And that's the thing, Cody. We weren't expecting Jalen Walker to be there, so that was amazing. We did kind of monkey around on the clock, maybe looking to trade down, because there's been a lot of buzz that they really did not just like James Pierce, they loved him. Like, it's tunnel vision. There is some risk there, but you like Pierce. You like the pick itself. Would he have been worth it at 15?
I mean, I don't think it would have been crazy to take him at 15. Now, with Jalen Walker on the board,
right,
obviously, that's why it unfolded the way it did. I think that, like you said, I don't know that anyone really, most people didn't anticipate Walker being there at 15. It almost was the too good to be true option for the Falcons, you know, the Georgia connection, but just, you know, fitting what they needed. But yeah, I think James Pierce, if Jalen Walker had gone earlier, would have been an acceptable pick at 15. I think the thing that understandably makes people maybe a little more skeptical is just giving up that future first, because, you know, I've seen some others say this too. You know, you wouldn't give up a future first and, you know, hop down in another round for many veteran players. And so you're obviously betting big on what he can be long-term. But we know edge rusher is a premium spot. It's a spot they've needed to fill. So if you're going to take a swing, you take it there.
Cody Benjamin joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can check out his stuff at CBS Sports. He also has written a book, by the way. He's the author of Eagles Super Bowl, and it's out in stores as we speak. Let me ask you about Xavier Watts, the kid out of Notre Dame. Everybody's talking about our two edge guys. This kid may be the most accomplished player that the Falcons drafted. When you talk about what he was able to do at Notre Dame and the level of play, I mean, we're talking about incredible numbers that he put up this last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think it speaks to, obviously, you know, I'm hitting it over the head here, but when you're giving up the future picks, you want to take advantage of the other picks that you have. And so, you know, we saw this with some other teams too, where you're maybe limited, like the Minnesota Vikings. They came in with only four picks. They turned it into five. But when you're a team like that, where you're limiting your draft capital, you've got to make the most of those other swings. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at the rest of the roster and it fits. It's where you want some upside there. And so I think all eyes are now, obviously, they're still, I guess they've been all offseason on Kirk Cousins and what's going on behind Penix. But, you know, even if you take away the Kirk Cousins situation, I mean, you've got enough pieces around Michael Penix now where you're starting to get into a position where you're looking at the 2025 Falcons and saying, we're really going to be what Michael Penix makes us, because, you know, the swings in the draft are promising, bold but promising. You've got kind of everything you think you need on offense, and it's kind of up to the young guy now to deliver on the promise under center.
Cody Benjamin's with us, guys, from CBS. And again, that was the formula for our 2016 Super Bowl run with a really young defense with some great picks that got nailed in the draft. The story, and I read your blog, was pretty funny last month, where you guys were kind of role-playing Aaron Rodgers, because there really is no market for Kirk Cousins unless Aaron retires or somehow doesn't go to Pittsburgh. Real quick, any other insight or any later insight on where Rodgers may go?
I mean, with Rodgers, I think there's nothing new to offer, except I think that it's, I mean, Pittsburgh are nothing right now until something else moves. And honestly, it might feel like that for Kirk Cousins as well, because, you know, if Kirk Cousins' deal the whole time was, you know, I don't want to waive the no-trade clause, or I don't want to be dealt to a spot where I'm going to be in the same position, well, you're going to be in the same position unless it's Pittsburgh. You know, again, if Rodgers kicks this thing out until mid-July, it's August, and the Steelers are like, we need an answer, maybe then that is an opportunity for Kirk Cousins to say, hey, I can go in there. I can start immediately. For both Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, it really, the pickings are slim. You know, we saw even in the draft, you know, teams being hesitant, and that's a whole different story, but being hesitant to take flyers on Shedeur Sanders, on Will Howard. I mean, even Quinn Ewers. I mean, these guys going late, where you've got quarterback needy teams and they're not biting on some of those guys. And so I still hesitate to believe that Pittsburgh has operated this entire offseason the way they have. And then, you know, that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't go there. But, yeah, I think it's Pittsburgh or nothing unless we get a major injury in camp.
Cody, you said fair or not, the NFL sent a message to Shedeur Sanders. But you also say that this could be the best situation and scenario that he could possibly be in, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think both can be true. I think that, you know, I prefaced it with fair or not, because we know sometimes NFL teams, you know, just because they think a certain thing about a player, evaluating a guy, his character, his on-field upside, I mean, NFL teams are wrong all the time. They are wrong all the time, including at quarterback. And so that doesn't mean, you know, and also Shedeur Sanders, he didn't choose to be born to Deion Sanders. He didn't necessarily choose the spotlight that was on him. Now, you could argue he has chosen it a little bit as he's, you know, come into his own as a prospect, you know, embracing this legendary label. But whatever, fair or not, the NFL, I mean, the actions speak louder than words, right? And on draft weekend, you don't slide until the fifth round if teams don't think there's something seriously wrong, you know, at quarterback. And so whether that's personality, whether that's on-field upside, whatever, they sent that message. But now I do think that it could work in his benefit. I mean, it's a bold prediction to say that landing in Cleveland, I guess, is good for a quarterback. But on the flip side, the bar has been lowered so much. I mean, the bar to clear in Cleveland is so low, and there's also not a ton of pressure to be on the field immediately because of how many other arms they brought in this offseason. And so whether or not it was fair, if there was any ego involved for Shedeur, it's hard to look at the black and white results of the draft that says you are now the fourth string quarterback on the Cleveland Browns. I mean, if that doesn't lessen whatever ego may or may not be there, right, I don't know what will. So it could work in his favor.
As we say, Carl, humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
It's Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports with us, guys. And that's the thing. We, you know, the more information that came out, anecdotal stuff from general managers, that, I mean, they were still thumbing their nose as he was falling down the draft. I mean, it's just the level of hubris was out of control. Meanwhile, to your point, Deshaun Watson likely never going to play again. Flacco here for a minute. Don't know why they took Dylan Gabriel, but yes, I mean, he could look, if he puts the work in, silences the critics, and they can just hit, you know, fix that hitch with his giddy up and get the ball out quicker, he could be the biggest hero in Cleveland since Brian Sipe.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the Dylan Gabriel pick to me, like you said, at a certain point, it became like you're seeing 31 other teams pass on Shedeur over and over and over again, and you convince yourself, well, we have Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Neither of those guys projects really as a long-term answer right now. And so I think the Dylan Gabriel pick was, well, we're not going to touch Shedeur because no one else is, and we've already passed on him so many other times, but we do still need some developmental arm in Dylan Gabriel. And then when you come back around later, two rounds later, the fact that Shador's still there, I mean, Andrew Berry, their general manager, he's admitted as much that wasn't the plan. They were not, you know, when they picked Dylan Gabriel, I think they fully expected, well, someone else is going to clean up the Shedeur fall. The fact that they did it, you know, 10 years from now, will we look back and say they were accidentally heroes here by taking him? We'll see.
Yeah, it's a great point. Biggest surprise for you, was there one in this draft? Look, I mean, in the first round, it was pretty much chalk, first five picks or so. I do think the Travis Hunter trade with Jacksonville shocked a lot of people, but Jacksonville trying to be bold there and a new general manager and head coach. But is there something that you just were really taken back by outside of Shador? Because that seemed to be this draft. This is what we're going to talk about, as you said, 10, 15 years from now. And do you remember when?
Yeah, I think that, you know, sticking with Cleveland a little bit, you mentioned the Travis Hunter thing. It wasn't so much the moving down. I mean, it was a big deal to pass up on Travis Hunter. But then for the Browns to kind of go old school football, you know, with their priorities for those first few picks, you know, with Mason Graham, you know, then addressing, you know, getting a running back early. It was curious just because it felt like, you know, by the end of the draft, they ended up with two quarterbacks that they added. But it felt like early on, you know, they're building, building in the trenches. They don't really have an answer at quarterback, and then staying in that division with Pittsburgh. And we talked about this too. It really, I don't know how you operate the way that the Steelers did, unless you absolutely despise these quarterback prospects, or you're certain that Aaron Rodgers is coming. Because I just don't know what other door there is to open aside from Kirk Cousins, aside from signing Carson Wentz. I mean, I don't know, you know, the way that they've operated, it's the total opposite of last offseason when the Steelers got uncharacteristically proactive. You know, we sign Russell Wilson, we trade for Justin Fields, we ship Kenny Pickett out. This offseason, it's let's sit on our hands with Mason Rudolph. And so, yeah, we're all still waiting on Aaron to put pen to paper there.
They may know. They may know something we don't. Cody, thanks so much, man. We got to run. Cody Benjamin, we'll get you back on, brother. Great stuff. Keep up the good work. CBS Sports. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.